I feel like Pastor Doug's kind of giving me this challenge, you know, 15 minutes. You guys came here an hour early, so I feel like I have another hour yet to keep you guys here. Baptism Sunday. Just great witnessing all these baptisms. Really just sets the tone for what I'm about to preach on today. We're on a series about grace. And last week it started, and it's titled, We Are Grace People. And today I'm going to talk about unexpected grace. This is a grace that hits you out of the blue, a grace that you didn't ask for, an unselfish kindness that is just lavished upon us. This is God's kindness. We're going to read John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came to the Father full of grace and truth. And last week we talked about how grace was freely given. And Pastor Doug had this sweet acronym. It was God's riches at Christ's expense. It's grace. So Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me so that we could have eternal life. It's a blessing and it's an honor. And it's given to us free of charge, like I said. Amen. No strings attached.
Yeah.
It's so great. Sometimes I feel like we have trouble wrapping our head around it. You know, the generosity and the love that God's shown to us doesn't make sense. It's not worldly. It goes countercultural. It's just confusing sometimes. So my goal today is just to help you guys understand the lavish blessing that God's given us.
Amen.
I'm going to take you through a story in the Old Testament that's a picture of God's grace and generosity to us. The story is found in 2 Samuel chapter 9. And it involves two people. The first person is David, and not David that was baptized this morning, but King David.
Yeah.
And David has just become king. The second person it involves is a mouthful. It's Mephibosheth. Mm-hmm. I nailed it. Good. So Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is a son of Jonathan.
Yeah.
And Jonathan is a son of Saul.
Yeah.
The relationship between Saul and David was complicated at best.
Yeah.
I mean, Saul really was coming after David for a long time. David was called to be king. God was going to bring him into kingship because Saul had dishonored God.
Yep.
Saul didn't want any of that. He was trying to get David. He was trying to kill David. He was after David. And at this point in the story, both Saul and Jonathan have died in battle. And David is actually wiped out as many of Saul's relatives as he could, all his lineage, and taken his place as king.
Yeah.
Mephibosheth is the last of his family line. And like I said, it's in large part due to David and David's armies.
Yeah.
David's generosity with Mephibosheth is a picture of God's grace and generosity with us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read this verse, 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7. David starts out, actually we will get there in a minute. I'm going to take you back to the start of the chapter. So David starts out in chapter 9, and he's asking if anybody is left of Saul's family line, because he wants to bless somebody for the sake of Jonathan. Because Jonathan and David, they were like bros, best friends, and they made this pact a long time ago that any relationship between them and their family members and anyone, they'll have God in that relationship. So David's looking to fulfill this covenant that he made with Jonathan. So he poses this question, is there anyone left? And Ziba comes forward. Ziba is a former servant of Saul. And Ziba says, yeah, there's this guy, Mephibosheth, and he's the son of Jonathan. David says, great, bring him to me. So Ziba goes, finds Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth is very afraid. You know, he thinks that David's calling him there so he could kill them. It was really custom in those days to get rid of your political rivals, protect your kingship. It's very normal. Not to mention that David had just spent this time getting rid of all of Saul's family line. So I think it's really warranted and even normal that Mephibosheth would be afraid as he approaches David. So David calls Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth comes forward. It's also important to note that Mephibosheth was a cripple. Both his legs didn't work. Couldn't go anywhere. So when he's brought before David, he is literally a sitting duck. So let's look at verse 7. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." This is a huge blessing, a huge honor. David's given this blessing of land, land that belonged to his grandfather. And he was also given an honor to come and sit at the king's table and eat. Is this not a picture of God's grace extended to someone who didn't deserve it? Someone who didn't even expect it? Is this not the same undeserved grace that God extends to us? Romans chapter 3, verse 8. "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God doesn't call us into our family because we deserve it. There are no special chosen people. God comes and he meets us where we're at. While we were still sinners, he meets us in our sin. Because we don't deserve it. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. It's a gift with no strings attached, and I think it's important that we don't miss this point. We don't turn from sin because we want to earn God's love. We turn from sin because we've experienced God's love, and we know what it's all about. Mephibosheth was incredibly grateful for David's kindness, and he felt he didn't deserve it. Because it was freely given, Mephibosheth did nothing to earn it. This is a struggle for us sometimes. In our society, we have trouble accepting free gifts. We don't want to be in anyone's debt. Sometimes we feel guilty. Someone will bring you a coffee and you're like, "Oh, I'll get you back next time." And you don't want to feel like anyone owes you. It's this sense of earning things in our society that gets us to go to work. We earn a wage and we buy stuff for ourselves. We like to keep things even. It's hard to believe that there's no strings attached with all the scams that are going on and paranoia can set in. And unfortunately, sometimes these feelings make their way into the church. We feel like we need to do something to earn God's grace. We show up and we're like, "Okay, God, I need to do something to earn your grace. What can I do? Money. Well, that's a good thing. I'll give 10% to tithing. I'll give to this charity, to that ministry. That's going to get me more of God's love." Okay, what else? Time. Time's a good one. Serving in the church. You know, I love to serve, so I'm going to join the worship team, be unwelcoming, be a greeter, help out in Sunday school, maybe put up with all those screaming kids in nursery. That's got to be worth a ton, right? It sounds crazy, but we do that so many times in our walk with God. We feel like we're in debt to him because of what he's done, and we need to even the tables. If you think that's how it works, then you're missing the point. Serving and giving are good, but we need to check the condition of our hearts. We need to check our motivations. Why are we serving? There's no amount of things that you can do to earn God's grace. No amount of money or time you give will earn you a seat at the king's table. If that's your motivation, you're going to feel wanting, like something's just not right. And you can even get burnt out from overworking. Feeling you need to do something to earn God's grace, that's religion. I'm not saying that tithing and serving aren't important things. If I did, Pastor Doug's come up here, dragging me off stage. You know, they're great things. I'm just saying we need to check our heart and our motivation behind these things. We do not come to church to earn God's grace. We come to church to experience God's grace. And the giving of our time and of our money is a response. A response to being a people full of grace. This church here at City Light is full of grace. And I think we just experienced it with the baptism and the support that's up there when somebody's up there. You know, we can feel like we can give and receive guilt-free. There are no strings attached here at City Light. There's just the word of God and his message of love and kindness and joy. And you're going to find people living it out here. I see it every time I show up. And the people are living it out because it's what they've experienced. They've had this relationship with God. They've seen his kindness. And it's only natural to want to do something. Once we experience God's grace and kindness, we should want to do something for others. David shows kindness to Mephibosheth because David himself has experienced God's kindness. David was a shepherd boy, the youngest son. He had nothing really in store for himself. And then you see David getting called king. And even throughout his rise to kingship, there's a lot of struggles. There's a lot of tough times. But David is always trusting in God. And where this story picks up is at a point where David is at his height. He has just became king. He has everything in place. He has all this blessing that God had promised him is now fulfilled. And what's the first thing he's looking to do? He's looking to pass that blessing on. The kindness David shows to Mephibosheth is a response to his relationship with God. When I was younger, I had low self-esteem, low self-worth. And that was in large part to do with the school I went to. I went to a school that was kind of uppity, really preppy. There's a bunch of rich kids that went there. They always had the best clothes, the best food, perfect teeth, perfect hair. And I'm not really sure how I ended up there. I don't know what strings my parents pulled, but we were far from rich. We were actually poor by Canadian standards. We'd be on welfare from time to time. I remember shopping at Goodwill for clothes when I was growing up. I remember getting food delivered on our doorstep in cardboard boxes, and it sounds like a good thing, getting free food, but you'd open it up. You realize that everything's past its expiry date. Some of it smells a little funky. There's bread with blue stuff growing on it. And that's okay. You know, there's times in our lives that we got by on the kindness of others, and I don't have any regret for that or anything, but when I was at school, I was in an environment where your self-worth was in what you owned, what you put on your back, what you had. And being in that environment, it left me feeling pretty worthless. You know, that it wasn't until I heard a message about Jesus spoken in a certain way that those things started to change. I remember being at a conference and hearing someone tell me that I was part of royalty, that my father was the heavenly king, and he had an inheritance waiting for me that would put the wealth of this world to shame. And I thought that was awesome. You know, the kids at school, they wore their Nike and Adidas, but I was clothed in the righteousness of God, and they could eat their fancy fresh bread. But one day I was going to eat at the table and sit with my heavenly king. That was just a huge boost to my self-esteem, a huge boost to self-worth. And it should be to everyone here. And now that I've experienced it, it's a natural response for me to want to pass it on and pay it forward. Mephibosheth was giving a blessing and an opportunity to share that kindness. In the same way, the king has shown us kindness. And we have an opportunity to show that to other people. You know, my wife Lisa has a huge heart. She's about to stand up. We can all look at her. And she really likes, thank you, Zelina. She really likes to sponsor children, specifically from Kenya. It's kind of where her heart is. She's always been that way since before I met her. She went to Africa on a missions trip and it touched her. And she just has this, we need to sponsor children, Burton. And she had a sponsor child when we met. And I was like, okay, that's good. Sponsor child. And then she's like, oh, we should do another one. And I started thinking, well, I don't know. We have the budget for that. We have the money for that. I was really tentative, but we did it, and then we did it again, and the more children that we sponsor, the more I'm just totally on board, totally sold out. I want to keep doing it. And someone came to our door the other day, and they knocked on the door, and they had that little tag, and they're going to sponsor. As soon as I opened the door, I said, yeah, we're going to add another kid to the list of kids we're sponsoring. It's just happening. It's just natural to want to pay that kindness forward once you have experienced it. I urge you guys, don't put a limit on God's kindness. Because with God, there are no limits. There's no limits on what he's going to do for you. But sometimes, we miss out on the abundance of what God has planned for our lives. We miss out on the great blessing that's in store because of our stinginess, our holding back, our wanting to do things on our own. You know, but I could say, I'm going to sponsor 10 kids. That's my limit. And people would be like, wow, that's great. That's so generous. You know, Burton, you're doing great. But it doesn't mirror the attitude of God. God's attitude is that his grace extends to us all. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. With God's grace, there are no limits. And I am so thankful for that. God's grace extends to all people. Doesn't matter of your background. Doesn't matter what you did or who you are. It doesn't matter if you have money or if you don't have money. Doesn't matter if you have crazy hair or tattoos. It just doesn't matter. It's for everybody. We have all been invited to sit at the table. When Jesus shares the Passover meal in the upper room with his disciples, he talks about this time that's coming where he's going to share it again with them and with us in heaven. Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 16. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Wouldn't it be amazing just to share a meal with Jesus? You know, once you experience him and know him. I like the word they use here, reclined. It just paints this picture of being relaxed, you know, just talking with him over food. Jesus says that we're invited and he's waiting. All we have to do is open the door. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. The invitation is open. We only need to let Jesus in. This idea of free grace, I talked about how it can leave us feeling like we need to earn it. But there's also a flip side. The fact that it's free might trick some of us into thinking that we somehow deserve it. Because it's freely given. So yeah, you know what? I'm starting to owe it to myself. We might become complacent in our walk with God. We might take the blessing of the fellowship that we experience him for granted. I find in our culture, we like to complain. It's almost like we enjoy complaining. We complain about complaining. You know, we have no real problems, so we make problems up. Just a way of something to complain about. These have become known as first world problems. See, I was trying to think of a meme, but I couldn't come up with anything. Terrible. So, an example of a first world problem might be, my fingers are too greasy, and I can't open this bag of chips, and they're greasy from the last bag I ate. Or, you're in the shower. Oh, and I forgot the shampoo I just bought on the counter. What am I going to do? It's the end of the world. Another problem might be, I have too many clothes for the amount of hangers I have. I can't hang them all up. There's just clothes everywhere falling down and I got nowhere to put them. Too many clothes. Or one of my favorites is, you eat leftover pizza and you take the pizza box and you go to put it in the fridge and it just doesn't fit. It's like, what are you going to do? This pizza box doesn't fit. I want to save my pizza. We just have too much stuff. And somehow we still find a way to complain about the things that we have. This sense of entitlement in today's society may have some of us thinking that we deserve God's grace. Like, it better be free. I go to A&W sometimes and there's people with coupons for free sandwiches, free breakfast sandwiches or teen burgers. And they walk up with this sense of entitlement like, here's my coupon. It's free. It says it's free right there. And they're like pointing to the word free as if the person behind the cashier doesn't know, like, yeah, I can read. It's free. But this sense of entitlement that we have in our society, it can go over into us being a Christian. Like, it better be free. I'm not going to pay for it. No, you're not going to pay for it. But Jesus did pay for it with his life. His life, guys. And if the cost of our freedom is the one and only Son of God, then we better not be taking it for granted. We have to be thankful. We need to show our gratitude. Mephibosheth, like I said, he was a cripple. Listen to how he describes himself in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 8. This is right after David said, I'm going to bless you. So Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? A dead dog. Those are not very uplifting words. It's a little morbid, you know, but when you think about it, we are all dead dogs without Christ. You know, the Bible speaks about how we are dead in our sin. We're covered in filthiness. We do not deserve this lavish blessing that God puts on us. You know, there's no hope. There's no life apart from God. There's only death in store for us. And yet God offers us this eternal life. We're given a chance to sit at the table with our heavenly King. A chance at a new life. Don't forget the blessing once you have experienced it. You know, the grace that you experienced, if you're a Christian, that day you were saved, it's still available to you today. You can experience it day in and day out. I was saved when I was 16, and it was amazing. I mean, my life turned around. Like I said, I got a new sense of self-worth, because my worth was found in God and not in myself. And I still remember that day. I remember how amazing it was. But there's been times since then, trying times. There's been troubles. I've had ups. I've had downs, like lots of downs. And I feel like if I didn't experience God's grace, I might have fallen. I might have backslid. But the fact that I've experienced God's grace from God speaking to me, telling me he loved me, but also from other people in the church, you know, other people in my family, and they just extend God's grace to me. And they show me, yeah, you know what? God does care. God does love you. God's there right by your side. That keeps me from backsliding. If I was under the rules of religion, saying that I had to do something to earn my grace, I'd probably fall into a fit of despair. My self-worth would just plummet. But I know my God loves me. And like a father, he's always going to take care of me. He's always looking out for what's best. I can rely on him in my times of trouble. There's a saying in it. It's, if not for the grace of God, there go I. It talks about this idea that God's grace enhances our lives. God's grace keeps us from going down certain paths, certain roads. We're just better off because of God's grace. I like to say, I prefer to say, because of the grace of God, there I go. God's grace, it allows us to do more. It allows us to be more. It allows us to live out this crazy awesome life that God has planned for us. And the reason it does is because when we experience God's grace, the bondage and the chains that we were under, they're released. They're gone. We are set free. All because of God's grace. Amen. That's right. Some more amens. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. There's no fear. There's no guilt. There's no condemnation once we experience God's grace. God's grace allows us to overcome and to be triumphant. It says in the Bible that we're called to be more than conquerors. Not just conquerors. Not just, yeah, I've conquered my sin. I'm good. But to be more. To go out there and to keep conquering for the sake of Jesus Christ, helping other lives, helping other people come to Christ, helping other people deal with their sins, things that they're feeling, things that they're hard with. You know, I just feel and I know that my God is love and my God has saved me and I've experienced his grace. And it's only natural for me want to show that to other people. We need to show our gratitude. So the question we need to ask ourselves, how then do we show our gratitude? Once we've been blessed by God, it's very natural to want to be a blessing to someone who can't repay us. To show that kindness. You need to ask yourself, who is my Mephibosheth? No, I'm serious. I want you guys to ask, who is my Mephibosheth? I said it like 20 times. It's very hard. I practiced a lot. So repeat after me. Who is my Mephibosheth? Ah, it's pretty good. Oh, some of them went on a little too long. But we need to think about someone in our lives that we can't repay. Someone that we can be a blessing to. We all have people in our lives that need our help. They're everywhere. Sometimes we turn a blind eye to them. We pretend like they're not there. But if you start looking, it's so easy to find someone that needs your help. Too easy, actually. And when we help them, we don't do it for the notoriety. We don't do it for reward to get anything back. We don't even do it for that warm, fuzzy feeling inside. Although sometimes that feels good. We simply help them because of what God did for us. God is calling us to be grateful. And he's given us an invitation to sit at his table. We need to be grateful by doing good for other people. We are grace people. I feel like it should be hashtag, we are grace people. Don't forget the blessing that we've been given, that all our sins have been covered by the righteousness of God. And don't forget to show your kindness to someone else. Just going to show closing prayer here. You want to come up? Dear God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the grace that you've given us, Father. And we thank you for your kindness. God, I'm especially thankful that your grace is new every day. I'm thankful that it never runs out. I'm thankful that if there's someone here that needs a little bit more of your grace, then you're more than willing to show it to them. God, I thank you that there's people that are willing to show their love and their grace to other people because of what you've done for them. And I just want to pray with anyone here that hasn't experienced the grace of God, that hasn't been able to have the opportunity to feel the blessing, to feel the kindness. I want to offer that to you right now. I want to offer you a chance to experience this lavish blessing. I want to offer you a chance to experience a new life, a life that's not filled with sin, but with joy, a life that's lived out in the light. And if you're here and you feel like that's something you want to be a part of and something that you've never had the opportunity to do, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you feel like you want to do it, you can just say that prayer after me. You don't have to say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. But just say this simple prayer to start experiencing the fullness of God. Just pray after me. Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner. And I know that only you can forgive me of my sins. God, I give myself to you. I ask Jesus into my heart, and I choose to live all my days serving you. Thank you for saving me, Father, and thank you for the blessing. Amen. Just ask that everyone would keep their heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to ask if anyone out there said this prayer for the first time, just lift up your hand. Just quickly. It's important that we just make this proclamation. Thank you. I see that hand. And just tell people that we have accepted Jesus. Don't hold back. God is chasing after us. Thank you, Father. I thank you for the salvation of the people here today, Father. I thank you for your awesome blessing, your great joy, and your grace, Father. We thank you for your grace. God, I ask you that you be with these people throughout the rest of this week and keep them mindful of your grace. Help them feel it and experience it and to know you more. Amen.